Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We're also fortunate to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are to share their industry expertise and experience, making sure we learn and laugh along the way. Today, I'm excited. This is the second time we've had Night for Heroes with UF Health represent. We had him on last year. We're going to talk about that story. Here comes the introduction. Man, it's a mouthful. Two guests representing UF Health, Night for Heroes specifically. We have Tony Mara or Mara?
Mara.
I got to say the name's right. Athletic trainer with UF Health Jacksonville and head athletic trainer for West Nassau High School. And Laura Tuck, did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, you can't say Tuck wrong. Rehab manager with acute care and TCU rehabilitative services. Oh my God, the intro's exhausting. Welcome to What the Health Just Happened.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. Ready to party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm out of breath from that.
It's all right.
I'm so sorry.
That wasn't even that bad. That was
the weather.
I struggle to say rehabilitative.
Rehabilitative.
See, I messed up too. Does it make you feel better?
Rehab
is a tough word.
Rehab.
I like saying athletic trainer. That's nice and easy. Okay. So right off the bat, I kind of want to paint a picture. What is Night for Heroes? When we talked about it last year, but just paint a picture of what the event is.
So it's a fundraiser and it's for UF Health Jacksonville, where we highlight one patient's story. Our committee kind of looks at a variety of stories each year and we vote on one patient save. And then we highlight all the healthcare heroes who were part of that patient's care, the primary individuals who cared for them. And it's the spectrum of individuals from the athletic trainers to the nurse to the rehab services, the physicians.
I'm excited to tell the story, which we'll get to in a second. Tony and I have been texting back and forth. I'd say we're friends now, right?
Yeah, we're bros.
It's the first time we met in person. But so how many patients are nominated for this? And then you narrow it down to one.
Yeah, so we usually have about five patient stories. We actually reach out to all of UF Health Jacksonville to submit those stories to the committee. They're reviewed. A physician kind of talks through the care that was provided and the committee votes on which story they really want to lean towards that year and promote. We try to change it up each year, so it's not the same story each year. It's unique saves, really.
So how many people are voting on it? Is it a committee that's working with Night for Heroes?
Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of individuals who volunteer their time. I'm one of the few individuals who works for UF Health Jacksonville. So these are people in the community that are volunteering their time on the committee, and there's 24 this year.
24.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What happens if it was a 12-12 tie? For voting on the person.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I like that.
That is a good way to. That's how I make all my life decisions is I flip a coin and play rock, paper, scissors.
I don't think that's how it would be voted, but. So
for the event specifically, we're going to say the date over and over. February 8th, 2025 at Sawgrass Marriott in Ponte Vedra.
Yes.
And this is the 18th year of it.
Yes.
So for 18 years, you've had this gala that's raising funds. Does the money go to UF Health to reinvest in all the things?
Yeah. So it's been for UF Health Jacksonville at large, and it's highlighting different service lines. So originally it started out as a trauma support. So we have shifted towards highlighting different service areas of the hospital. Like last year was orthopedics, athletic training, really the freestanding ED this year. So just different aspects of UF Health will receive some of those funds to support, whether it's new equipment they need or different resources being allocated to building out, you know, better facilities, whatever it might be. So it all stays within UF Health Jacksonville.
Does UF Health want to sponsor this show? Any of those funds want to go to What the Health? I'm kidding. terrible question there.
How much you need?
Whatever.
Like this guy. Hey.
Just a 6-pack of beer, I'll be fine.
That's covered.
What's the most funds ever raised? If you can share that, what's the goal this year?
Oh, I should know this off the top of my head, but we really... Usually we have a live appeal that's an item that's about 100K, but then there's additional funds raised throughout the evening. And I think the goal this year is somewhere along 500K.
So the goal is $500,000.
Roughly.
All that goes back to, and again, mind you, healthcare is incredibly expensive. All these shiny objects that save lives cost money, right? All mm-hmm. these salaries cost money. Some people tiptoe around the money talk. Mm-hmm. I don't. What about volunteers? Are you looking for more volunteers?
I can ask Megan, but I think we have a good group of volunteers that come in for the night of to help serve for the event. So I think maybe we can use more volunteers.
The board's at 24. Are you trying to increase that?
So each year we actually, after the gala ends, have an evening where we solicit committee members bringing on additional new people, because sometimes they can't stay on every single year. So we're looking for additional, you know, connections to the community and whatnot. So it never hurts to have new committee members.
Of the 24 members on the committee, is there anyone you'd vote off the island?
Might be one.
No, they're all like, one of it's me.
No, they're all really wonderful people.
So Night for Heroes, again, it's a big fundraiser, February 8th this year, Sawgrass Marriott in Ponte Vedra. What's the theme?
Oh, it's Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. You have a costume?
I have socks.
Socks?
Yeah,
Alice in Wonderland. You don't have a top hat or dress like a bunny?
No, that's not me.
I think you need the Mad Hatter vibes.
That's not me.
What about you?
I definitely have a dress picked out, and I'm excited. I'm doing Rent the Runway. I'm not buying something. But
that's a great
Simon's Direct is actually outfitting me with jewelry for the event, which is very interesting.
Ooh, do they have a guy's?
I'm so sorry, Timothy.
First time I knew about that.
I proposed Frost Yourself. Anyone seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. So in that movie, they have like Frost Yourself. I was like, this would be great if the chairs could advertise for you guys. And Lauren Lee, my co-chair, getting outfitted with Diamond for the event.
I love so Diamonds Direct is doing this and yeah. Rent a Runway.
Yes.
Two great organizations.
I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll rock a roll.
There you go. Jersey watch. So themed this year, how many people attend the gala, you think?
600.
600. Mm-hmm. So that's not small.
Mm-mm.
Is there dancing?
Oh, lots of it. And we have a really good band.
There was
this
a ton
year.
Of dancing last year.
Yeah.
I was filming the people dancing. They were getting wild.
Yeah. Trey filmed some. Who's the band this year?
It's Bay Kings Band.
Bay Kings?
Which I've actually seen them before at a wedding at Epping, and they're fantastic.
I love live music. Okay. What's your background? We talked about the gala. Now we're going to talk about some clinical stuff, the story specifically. But you mentioned you're an occupational therapist.
Yeah, I've been with UF Health Jacksonville 12 years.
Okay.
And I was an OT, just a clinician for many years. And about 3 years ago, I became supervisor. And then I just recently became the manager of the rehab team.
Where this is all of the rehabilitative, that's a tough word. We keep
it
saying
that. It is really
that.
Tough. You could say rehab.
No, we like butchering words. So acute care, TCU rehabilitative services.
Yeah.
What's your role look like day to day? Are you managing multiple locations, one location?
So I'm the downtown hospital and our TCU is an inpatient rehab, kind of like a short-term rehab. So I'm supporting both those locations, but they're both downtown. And my day-to-day could be clinical. Like last week I was seeing patients, and then some days I'm stuck in meetings all day and supporting, you know, putting out fires, supporting the clinicians through issues that they're having with patient care. Some days I'm patient care and some days I'm not.
This guy's chomping at the bit right here. You've done a good job listening. This is good.
Yeah.
So we'll bounce back to that. Obviously, chime in specifically, especially the story. So, Tony, we've gone back and forth. I had to reschedule because I got really sick 2 weeks ago, but we're here and we're getting it done.
I'm glad you're on the recovery.
He's rocking this sweet vest, too. We'll see if the videos have it. That is like, that's good branding right there.
That's our UF athletic training.
That's pretty legit.
For the cold days here in Florida.
Yeah.
Which is a warm-up for me from coming up from north.
This guy's got the northeast vibe. So your role, let's talk about this. What UF Health started, you mentioned now there's four full-time people in this specific role or sector. So talk about that, and then we'll dive into the specific patient and who was involved.
Well, there's the greatest thing about UF is, you know, we have people in various levels that are integrated into this community in Nassau County. And like Steve Wiley is one of them, who's the planning business developing director there. Dr. Jay Coleman, who works at Wildlight. There's Scott Fortney, who was a PT. He's a director or overseer of one physical therapy department and stuff. So these guys all started this as a voluntary basis because they were in the community. And it morphed into something like, hey, you know, can we have you at every game? And so they got back to the drawing table and they said, hey, there's a want for this. And the parents are the ones that want this, right? Because you have a kid that goes from K through 12, they're in high school. So from 7 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever it starts down here to 2:30, they're covered, right? Teachers, administrators, et cetera. Well, after 2:30, if your child plays sports, who's taking care of it?
Yeah.
And that's where we come in as athletic trainers. And so what they developed was a program. And it started off with Hilliard High School and Yulee High School. And then we decided to take the whole contract up, you know, with our superintendent. They proposed to our superintendent of at Nassau County School Districts, a woman by the name of Kathy Burns, and they got together and they orchestrated this whole thing. It's all or none, and she was on board. It was great, and so they started looking. And you know, when I moved after, basically right after COVID.
Ugh,
yeah.
Sorry.
A little bit after that, but you know, we relocated down here. My wife's family, most of them are down here. She just said, it's time to move. And I was like,
surprise.
Yeah. Can we take a time out on that? And she was like, we're out of here. So I was like,
she's already packing boxes.
Yeah. Sure, no, she was already. So I had no choice. And, you know, I did like about 25 interviews with various physical therapy groups, other hospitals. It came down to three.
Were they all Northeast Florida? Or were you looking all over the state?
No, I was. We were looking in the Northeast. There was a private institution as well as another hospital. They flinched. UF didn't.
Then you jumped on it. So you've been with UF how long?
2 years.
So 2 years and 12 years. She's been there longer than
you. Yeah, she has.
Just a little bit.
I like this too. And again, I promise we'll talk about the specific story and who all's involved. But I have young kids. And the way I look at it is I don't see these kids for sometimes 8 hours a day.
Right.
And they're young enough. They're not quite playing after school sports other than some programs. But thinking about growing up, you played soccer, Trey, right?
Oh, totally.
I mean, I was so close with our athletic trainer between wrestling and football. I would consider him a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think, very relevant. I love that the superintendent was like, we're doing this.
Oh yeah. There was a need. And the superintendent listened, you know, Kathy Burns listened to the community, the parents, and there was something that was already being blueprinted. And now all of a sudden it's reality. Now it's a staple. So, you know, that's a difference with UF where we're forming this. Now I came from a co-director of a 25 contracted school district contract with 25 athletic trainers.
This is Northeast.
And three PRNs in Long Island. Yeah. At NYU.
So 25 athletic trainers.
Yes. There's 50 high schools in Nassau County. Long Island. That was another thing that
Hold on.
Yeah, my wife said, I think somebody's trying to tell you something.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah,
so you lived in Nassau County, Rhode Island.
Long Island.
Long Island.
Yes.
And now you're Nassau County, doing this in Nassau County, Florida. That's wild.
That was confusing for a second.
It was meant to be, is what your wife said. Yeah. There was a calm.
Yeah, she was the smarter one of the two, calming me down because we were leaving to go to Florida. But
So the athletic training component, I mean, is this games every day? Are you every single day, every season, girls basketball, lacrosse, soccer, like every sport?
Nonstop. Yeah. And when you're down in Florida versus like Long Island, where I was for 30 plus years, everything's about climate. So the greatest thing down here is we're practicing and playing.
Always.
Year round, baby.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that's a problem is rain, right? Or heat. Those are the only two things. And we dealt with that for a short period of time, 1 to 3 weeks. So our preseason football started like August.
Yep.
Down here, I already got 3 games in August. We're starting in June.
Love it. Do they still do two-a-days?
Yes, but it is all about the weather. And that's where I come in to say, hey, so we would like, perfect example. Having that athletic trainer there, it's not when all the coaches can go. Like, okay, we're going to go at like 9 o'clock. Well, the hottest part of the day is like starts from 10 to like 1, 2 o'clock. You got to watch that window.
Yeah.
And without anybody being there or having anything or resources available, God forbid, in case something happens, you know. Now what do we do, right? So we can do two-a-days. And at one time it was getting really hot, right, where we wanted to practice. So you have an educated, licensed professional go, hey, coaches, how about we do this? Let them go home, let them rest, bring them back at 5 o'clock. Let's have practice at 5 where it's cooler, right? And you would think, you know, that everybody would be on the same page. Some coaches I hear from constituents outside of UF, you know, our athletic training department, they're like, well, we're having 2 days no matter what, and it's set at these times. But the weather controls and dictates the safety. Really, it controls the safety of all the athletes and coaches as well, you know?
Are you also, so you're monitoring the weather, are you involved in like the amount of like water intake? I know that sounds silly. I'm probably not, the verbiage is not right, but like, hey, you're dehydrated, kid. You need to.
It's not a silly question because our background and our study is nutrition, pharmacology, you know, muscles, everything. I mean, that's what an athletic trainer does. Goes to school. And now the programs, like I went to school, it was a 4-year undergrad. Then you had to go to a master's program. Then you were a grad assistant. Now they're not doing grad assistants anymore. Now it's a 5-year program. So if you were to do it now, it's a 5-6 year program with the undergrad, the master's degree. So you're coming, like,
you're like, ready to go.
Yeah.
How long's schooling for occupational therapists?
So it's now a doctorate, but I'm grandfathered in at the master's level. So
so you got bachelor's, master's, and now it's a doctorate for occupational therapy. That's a lot of school. And yours is essentially bachelor's and then master's degree.
Yeah, with an undergrad too, because I was an environmental biology major and then had to go to pre-med bio. So I have I have a couple of
degrees.
Yeah, to get more.
So you're not just a dumb caveman like us.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I just laughed.
I'm going to ask you first, then you, of your job, what's your least favorite part of it and what's your favorite part of it? And then I'm going to have the same question for you in the athletic training side.
I think my least favorite part is you go home with like emotional baggage. Like we're serving, you know, we're safety net hospital. So yes, we're known for trauma one, but we're safety net. So you're seeing people with no resources and giving them what you can, but feeling like you're walking away sometimes that, you know, guilty that you're going home to comfort.
Yep.
So, but I think my favorite part is like people realizing there's life on the other side, because I've worked in the trauma ICU primarily for many years. And just, you know, you get somebody up who's got a spinal cord injury and broken legs, broken arm, and they sit up for the first time and they feed themselves or something. And they're like,
that's a win.
I can have some autonomy again. And I'm not stuck in this bed forever. So just giving them that glimpse of hope, because acute care is so critical.
Yeah, I love it.
It's just that first step of, yeah, you can do more again.
It is, man, once you leave too, how do you turn it off? If you see two or three scenarios that are just difficult.
It's tough.
And that's the one thing I miss about like hands-on patient care is realizing how fortunate and lucky I am.
Yeah.
But it's still tough.
It is.
So the athletic trainer side, what's your least favorite or most difficult part? And then what's your favorite part?
I think being, you know, 35 plus years in this business and being at all levels, at the pro level, the Olympic level, at the college level, I left everything to go back down to the high school level, because I saw damaged goods. Like I saw kids getting recruited from high school to go big time.
Yeah, college. D1, potentially professional athletes.
And it's like, you know, we go through physicals just like we do in the pros. They take you from head to toe. Everything. It's like a line.
Yeah.
And, you know, like perfect example, Eric, when did you break your, when did you fracture your fibula? And you're like, what? I never fractured
my fibula.
Didn't
even know.
And there it is on the screen. So that's a tough question, because we are both like in the office and out on the field. I mean, the difficult thing would be work. You have to be on point down here. And what I mean by down here, by down south.
Yeah.
Versus up north, right? So you have to be on point with the hydration.
Yeah.
You have to be on point with the heat. And, you know, nobody doesn't know, but God forbid your athletic trainer goes down. Who's taking care of him? And I've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen before. So you can't be sick. You can't call out, you know. I mean, everybody's relying on you. And if you make a great fingerprint at your school, because every athletic trainer is different, right? We have like 54,000, 40-something thousand across the United States, male, female, right, athletic trainers doing what they love to do. If, you know, there's no time off. And to Laura, you know, it's like you try to not take that home.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is good luck, because I mean, I remember my last school that I worked at back in Long Island. I had a spinal cord injury in football. This is all in 1 week. I had a spinal cord injury in football, right?
Brutal.
Yeah. And that was and that was a visiting team that wasn't
one of your
it
students.
Wasn't one of my guys. Yeah. But the bad thing about it was there was no athletic trainer traveling with that team.
So that falls under your responsibility.
then we have senior night a couple of days after, right? So with the spinal cord injury, the kid was lethargic and going back out. So he had LOC, loss of consciousness, came back in, was going back out to the point where I looked at my ortho and I said, have them bring the AED.
You know, you're the first person. So there's always medical acronyms thrown out on this, and I have to stop and say what it is. You said LOC, loss of consciousness. Yes. Did you know that? You're the first one ever to say what the acronym is. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. So then, you know, then I had at our home soccer game, men's, one of our parents goes into one of the players' parents. It was a senior, goes into a seizure right where they're giving out the flowers and everything else. And then to top it off, the trifecta, because I knew it, because everybody's like,
it goes
in threes, right? So I'm like, oh my God. Then, well, I had God on my side, because the next thing was I had, I forgot who it was, broken compound fracture, tib fib.
Mm. That's a rough week right there.
Yeah.
Comes in threes.
So to bring it home, you know, it's tough. I have to really manage that. The greatest thing, just watching young boys and girls turn into women.
Turn into adults. Oh, I love that. That's good.
Yeah. And you have a big time part in that life, because you're dedicating your whole self, your career, all your expertise to this athlete to get better. Just like, you know, Laura in house.
I was going to say, you both kind of similar thing here. Both of your best part is watching, in your case, a patient go from a tough situation to improving, right? And potentially going home. And yours is watching young boys, girls, men, women grow into adults.
Coming out of a total surgery and then all of a sudden coming back into return to play and seeing that kid score a touchdown or a goal, or a girl hit a home run in softball that had a rotator cuff injury. I mean, that's the visual that hits your heart.
This is good, right? I told you that, man, that feels like it flew by. But what we did there, I think, is nice, right? We talked about Night for Heroes. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that in the second half, really specific the story.
Very important.
And then some backgrounds from both of you to understand how you're tied into the community, what your background is, and et cetera. So second half, we're going to talk a lot more about Night for Heroes, specific event, after some healthy or not healthy.
Yeah, buddy.
That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you're catching us here on the radio show, missed the first half, good news is you can catch the full episode on your favorite podcast platform under What the Health Just Happened. Trey, I think we're on YouTube now too, aren't we?
We are officially on the tube.
I don't know anything about YouTube other than just throwing stuff up there.
We're balling now.
We're balling now. I love it.
So balling with YouTube. I love it.
We have Tony Mara and Laura Tuck both representing UF Health and Night for Heroes. We talked a little bit about the event February 8th this year at Marriott Sawgrass. Big fundraiser, giving money back to the community, UF Health specifically. And again, we're going to talk about a specific story. We talked about some athletic training backgrounds, some occupational therapy backgrounds. Healthy or not healthy, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Healthy or not healthy, athletes' parents.
It's a little bit of both. It's healthy and non-healthy. Yeah, there's a certain line that you draw. I draw with that, you know? If you're talking about your own kid, that's fine. If you, want to find out, there's a lot of, you know, yeah. And the other thing is, on the other side, the unhealthy side is, hey, when can we get him back? Hey, if we do this, hey, I looked online. If we get
Dr. Google.
I'm like, it's a high school. I mean, I get it. But you don't want to be playing in that gray area. And the reason why you don't is, first of all, look at your kid's age, where they are. If this was a grown adult in the NFL, like if I was back in the NFL and we had a guy like that, they'd be doing physical therapy three times a week.
Yeah.
I mean, three times a day with multi-million dollar, you know.
That'd be nice.
Equipment. Getting back to our gala, right? This is where we try to squeeze that line for more equipment to do that. But you're at the high school level. I get it. Florida's big time football, but.
Healthy or not healthy, pickleball in the middle of summer in Florida?
Not healthy. No.
I've never played
heat index 110, not a good idea.
Yeah, it's brutal. Healthy or not healthy, the temperature in Florida right now?
Healthy.
You like it?
Healthy.
Oh, man. Healthy or not healthy?
I'm in New England.
The temperature in the Northeast America right now.
Yeah, it's 5, 8 degrees. It's good for you.
Healthy or not healthy, the dance floor at Night for Heroes?
So healthy.
What's the band again?
Bay Kings Band.
Bay Kings Band. I love live music. Healthy or not healthy, UF health in the community right now?
Oh, healthy.
I would say that's kind of the transition there. I think UF health has done an incredible job in Northeast Florida specifically. So we do a lot of work in Gainesville. Obviously, UF health started there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what happened the last 2 or 3 years, but I see UF health everywhere in the best way possible. For years, everyone thought of downtown, it was called, you know, Shands. All they thought about was a trauma unit, but
right.
Compliments to UF health. So Night for Heroes, big event, this fundraiser. The goal this year is $500,000. When do ticket sales close?
They close on the 22nd.
Okay, so that's pretty soon. I don't even know what day it is.
20.
Whenever 21st. This airs.
First?
The ticket sales will be closed by the time this airs. But there's ways to donate online. There's a silent auction.
Yeah, so if you follow the social media page, A Night for Heroes, the silent auction information will be on there. And whether you're at the event or at home, the auction items, you can participate, you know, virtually.
Let's talk about this story specifically, right? So each year there's multiple people that are nominated to win, we'll say, to be acknowledged. This year there were 5 or 6 total.
Yep.
It's voted on by multiple people, mainly the board and co-chairs.
Yep.
Let's hear the story, right? So what happens, the injury specifically, and then we'll kind of go through who all was involved and why it's such a big deal that this many people were involved and
I'm going to let you tell that story.
Yeah. So it's last year, December. It's cold in Florida.
Our version of cold.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And you know, at night, that moist, cold air mist comes in. So we're playing a home game. Our head men's soccer coach, Jonathan Easton, is trying to get our team, you know, rallied up to go into break with a win. It is a rival game. It's at home, and basically, game's going on. It's getting, you know, a little chippy, you know,
as it should.
How rival games go, right?
Yeah,
everything's good though, you know. So we had a couple of, you know, we hit a pipe, and a couple of, you know, great plays, whatever, and we're just grinding away. Both teams are grinding away, so. At that time, I'm on the sidelines taking care of one of my soccer players who got subbed out. He got kicked pretty bad in the ankle. So I'm just evaluating it real quick. And, you know, what we're taught as athletic trainers, especially at this level, it's only us. You know, it's not like 5 other athletic trainers, 7 other athletic trainers on a college field or a pro field. It's just me.
Yeah, you're looking at one kid on the side.
Yeah, so I need eyes behind my head. I'm taking care of this athlete. I'm taking care of the athlete. And the one time that I had taken care of this athlete to get him ready to go back in, I hear the crowd erupt, right? Everybody, like, it's packed, both sides. And I hear the big woo, right? So I spin around and I'm looking, I don't see anybody. Like, you're thinking somebody's down, right?
Yeah.
So, and it happened at the 50-yard line. So I'm usually right next to our
midfield in soccer,
yeah,
right? Is that how they say it? Yeah. Trey's, yeah.
Midfield in soccer. So I'm with my, I'm usually standing next to with my head coach as we walk down the sideline. I'm not just sitting on the sideline,
yeah.
I'm engaged in the game. Well, all of a sudden my coach turns around, recognizes, because we do these preseason, I do this preseason coaching education thing about signs, recognizing signs and symptoms on the field for head injuries, right? So he kind of like, he's looking at
this is the head ball too. I want to paint a picture here. So ball's in the air, 2 guys are going for a header,
yes.
Loud pop, you hear a crowd, ooh!
That was the mechanism of injury, yeah. So coach subs Milo out, our player, says, hey, you need to take a look at him. So I go, okay, great. So I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, because I didn't see it. So when you see it, you kind of automatically, you know, boom, you know exactly
the
where to
go. The speed at which it happened, how violent the collision was.
And the evaluation, right? But it was like a bang, bang play. and nobody's laying out on the ground, unfortunately. I mean,
fortunately,
but unfortunately, because now you know what you're dealing with, right? So he comes over, I went up for a header, okay. One of the things about athletic training is some of these kids do not want to open up because they want not to be taken out of the game. Mm-hmm. And what we tell our athletes and our coaches is, hey, we are not here to keep you off the field, the court, whatever the sport is. We're here to keep you on the field and prevent you from getting off. But if you come off, you need to be honest. And with these head trauma, with these head trauma injuries, you know, it's not like an ankle injury. Oh yeah, Tony, you know, I can do it. Okay. But you have to show me you can do it. So you have to ask the right questions, but you really have to be a good listener. Now, there's 22 signs and symptoms of a concussion, right?
So list them all right now. I'm kidding. Don't do that. We'll be. I'm kidding.
So I'm going through my head because I'm trying to get him, you know, to see, hey, does he or does he not have one? So we're doing all this symptom check stuff on the sideline.
This is Milo, this year's
patient
that's getting recognized at Night for Heroes.
Right. So there are certain things that are popping, but there are other things that are not. And in that symptom checklist, you're looking at the if A happens, then we should have symptom B also right behind it, but it wasn't. So you really have to ask the right questions, take a pause, listen to the patient or the athlete, in this case, his feedback. So, and Milo's a very quiet athlete. You got to understand Milo. Milo is... he's wound up really tight, and then when you let him out on that soccer field, he goes
100 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's nonstop for us. He's nonstop for us, and you know he's put in a special position. Coach Easton puts him and his coaching staff puts him in a special position to excel, and that's where he was. He was all over the place. So, he's off. We're doing our thing. I'm looking at the clock. It's about 2-3 minutes to halftime. I still don't like what I see. I'm like, okay, what about this, et cetera. So finally, I talk him into, hey, let's wait till halftime. Let's really dive into this. And I talk him into it, and he goes, okay. So we get to halftime now. I'm really like everything. And still, nothing's popping, but there's certain concerns I have from what he's feeding me back. So
you don't have a bunch of red flags. You have a couple pink flags,
I got
right?
a couple of pink flags that I'm worried about.
So during halftime, again, I'm just thinking of a high school sport. It was a rival game. Everyone's running around. And you're so you're doing your stuff.
I'm with him now privately. So now he's not looking at the field because there's nothing going on. Now I got his total attention. And so we start. And so I do everything. And I'm like, okay. So I can go. I can go. I said, okay, let's do this. Let's do some agilities. Let's see where you're at. So we do, like, I have this agility thing in my head for concussions where we give them like certain balance things, sidestepping, back paddling.
It's like a DUI test, right? Yeah. You make them say the alphabet backwards on one leg.
Right, right. Well, that was the verbal part of it that I already did in the cart. So we get to the physicality of it. And one of the things that is my go-to is double leg bunny hops, like you're bounding.
Yeah.
So we're actually shaking the brain inside the skull, right? The cerebral fluid. We're getting things moving to see how bad this is. And he stops halfway and I'm like, what's up? And he goes, Coach Tony, he goes, I got this, like this whooshing sound in my head. And I'm like, oh really? I go, do a couple more. So I'm forced to the issue, right? And he stops again. So I said, okay, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do that. And then I bring him back in and now I can see that
something's off.
Yeah. So I said, so talk to me about this. So he tells me about this this whooshing sound in his ear, and he's got this pressure in his ear, like we need to clear his eardrum. So I go, oh, you know, like when you're in the pool and you plug your nose, I go, I want you to lightly do that. So he does it, and I don't hear it because it's outside. I've only heard it twice in my career. Once high school volleyball player and a collegiate football player. Where they're doing that, and you could actually hear the air coming out.
Let me paint a picture on that too, because that's great. Like, the more detail, the better, right? So anyone, if you scuba dive or swim, when you go down, you plug your nose and you blow out. Same thing on an airplane,
right?
To decompress,
right? Pressure.
It can happen to where we'll get to the injuries, the specific injury in a second, where you plug your nose and blow out, and air is literally coming out of your ear, and that's where you didn't hear it. But with Milo specifically, that's what's going on.
Yeah,
and that's when you like what at that point he tells you this,
the click, yeah,
and you're like, oh boy, yeah, we got to watch out for this.
Yeah,
we got to look out for that.
Now, mind you, I had a pulse ox on him because I've seen subdural hematomas go really bad really quick.
Yep,
and I've also seen him linger. So, and the other thing that was concerning of me is, you know, where'd you get hit? Because I didn't see the hit.
Yep.
Because, and they both went up sideways. So he basically, the injury, impact injury is the temporal membrane, which is the side of the skull. The most thinnest part of the skull.
The fragilest part
because,
of the skull.
Because you have an eardrum there, you have everything, your balance is there, your eye is in front of it, right? I mean, like all the important ear, nose, and throat, right? So that happens, bing, that clicks in my head. I'm like, okay, you know what? That's okay. Let's relax. So now he's not pushing to get back on the field.
You know he's not going back in the game.
Because I just exacerbated those symptoms, right? So now all of a sudden it's like, okay, so by this time I'm looking, and now the father's coming down casually.
Yep.
And he comes down. And this is where, you know, it's important to have full-time athletic trainers at these high schools because the parents can trust you, right?
Yeah.
They trust you. And it's their loyalty to, you know, taking care of their kid. So he comes down nonchalantly with the boiled peanuts from the concession stand and goes, what do we got? He goes, Tony, what do we got? And I go, so I bring them, you know, further away. And I do this with all my parents. And I give them least case scenario, worst case scenario. Yeah. So I go like this, look, least case scenario is Milo's got a concussion and he's going to be out for the game. Worst case scenario is this is what I found. And so, you know, I'm just going to run a couple of more tests, you know, and we definitely need to get him, we definitely need to get him expedited, right? If this happens on cue, where like, I don't know, 10 yards away on cue, Milo goes, Coach Tony, I got something coming out of my left ear. And I'm like,
don't touch it.
And I go, I look at the father, and then the father's eyes light up, and I go, okay. I'm like, don't touch it. It's probably dirt. So I'm lying, right?
Yeah.
Alive. Yeah. I'm just lying away like, Milo, it's dirt. Don't worry about it. I don't want to push it back in your ear. You're not going to be able to hear. So I'm making everything up. I look at the father and I go like this. I go, okay, so here's what happens. We're going to walk to him. Two things are going to happen here. Either you're going to have clear or mucus color cerebral
CSF,
fluid,
yeah.
Right, or you're going to have blood, which are battle signs of three organs, right? Eyes, nose, ear, right? So with a subdural, right? Those three liquid or signs and symptoms, that's what we're looking at. So he goes, okay. I go, do not get excited and do not say a word.
This is to dad.
This is
stay
the dad.
Calm. Anyone who's a parent is like, when we panic, they panic.
Right, right. So stay calm. And this happens to be a lot because it's their kid, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, no problem. So he's, you know, we walk over together, you know, and I'm like, all right, don't touch it. Let me see. And sure enough, the blood is all, you know,
starts to come out.
Is coagulated and still coming out of his ear. And I don't want it to drip because, like we said, Milo's like, he's wound up like a top, you know, during game time. So if he touches and looks and now
panic.
He's going to go into panic. And I don't want that. I need him as calm as possible because we don't need an accelerated, you know, heart rate. So I'm like, so I put the glove on, I got the gauze, and I bang right on the ear so he doesn't see anything, right? But before that, the father comes over and he looks and he goes, oh, you know,
holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
like most parents would.
Yeah.
Let me pause for a second here. So big collision, home game, lot going on. Your hands are full. Coach is still looking at a game, like parents in the crowd, just envisioning this with children, like it's just madness, right? The actual diagnosis or issue, he had three temporal fractures, mm-hmm. right? So the side of his skull is cracked or broken in three places, blown out of your drum leftly, and a subdural hematoma.
Yeah.
So
and a concussion.
Underneath the brain, you got to be concerned about the swelling, mm-hmm. Which can cause all types of things. This happens because we got a couple minutes and I want to paint the picture of who else is involved over time. He gets expedited to the urgent care / ER, which location you mentioned?
Dunn Avenue. So where Dr. Nippert is the director of all of those. And
shout out to Dr. Nippert.
Yeah.
He's the director of UF Health ER and urgent care. So if you look throughout Northeast Florida, there's these ER and urgent cares popping up. This is a great example of these things are necessary. Yeah. So Milo goes to this location.
Yes, right down the road from our high school. So that's where we send
them. Close by.
Yep.
UF has a new truck, and we're actually having them on in a couple months to talk specifically about this truck. This is a very specific transport unit. So think of an ambulance in the fire department. You have a fire truck and an ambulance. UF Health has this very specific, we'll say head and brain truck that's for strokes, head wounds like this.
Yeah.
So Milo, we had talked about this earlier, gets on this truck and then is transported to which location?
Downtown.
So then he goes to downtown, probably I'm guessing the trauma unit.
Yes, level one. That's
trauma,
level.
The trauma ICU and your critical care where it consulted. Yeah. So,
again, this is just the visual here. All the people involved in this. You've got an athletic trainer, mm-hmm. right? A coach, a parent. Get him to a specific freestanding ER and urgent care. Then a specific truck designed for head injuries that then goes downtown to UF Health, the Trauma One unit, which I think is the only one in Northeast Florida other than Orange Park might have one now.
But yeah, they're, I think, a level two.
Yeah, if you have a traumatic injury in Jacksonville, you're going to UF Health, trust me. maybe, I don't know if you can chime in on this. So then he goes into, what does that look like? How long is he there? And then let's talk about the recovery process in only 5 minutes. Good luck.
So they stabilized him, ear, nose, and throat. ENT doctor was consulted, neurocritical care. They monitored him. I think it was 3 days before he discharged, but he had, rehab services see him on that side of things to make sure he was okay to go home. Speech therapist looked at cognition, made sure he was still swallowing fine. PTOT saw him and consulted to just make sure he's moving around, coordination, see if he needed any outpatient therapy services, but he was doing quite well. So there's nursing care, IC level, and they kind of monitor him for a few days, and then he got discharged home.
Just to reinforce to you, these head injuries, concussions are bad. Subdural hematoma can be really bad, mm-hmm. right? And it's recognizing how do we stabilize this patient, making sure there's no additional loss of consciousness, slurred speech, the inability to speak whatsoever, swallow, that's all part of it. So then he goes home. Mm-hmm. What's the rehab look like the next couple months? Is he still going through rehabilitation? Is he back to playing soccer?
His whole soccer season was ended, and he did most of his schooling at home because of that. So he was still seeing UF all the bases, like Laura said, which were important. I was always in contact with the parents, just as a follow up. But he did most of his schooling from home because they're recovering.
When we got approval to say Milo specifically this year, we did not have the approval. So compliments to Milo. That's a tough situation, way to battle through it. Compliments, my goodness, the fact that you got an athletic trainer there that's present. So UF Health reinvesting in this. The superintendent, what's the superintendent's name?
The superintendent is Kathy Burns. She's the Nassau County superintendent.
Shout out to Kathy Burns, the entire group that's tied to this. It's pretty cool. I think that's incredible. We got about 3 minutes. Anything you want to add to that story, the event specifically? I wish we had more time.
No, I think that you covered it really well.
It's just, you know what UF is doing that's different from anybody else that I see and my career working with other hospitals back up in New York is the fact that we're investing our people into each community. Our people live in that community. And our people are trying to educate our parents, because I come down here from the north and it's like, rub dirt on it, you'll be fine, and it's the same thing up in New York, trust me, it is, right? But what people need to understand is the fact that, we are a licensed professional healthcare person.
Yeah, we talked about it. You're right? going through minimum so, 6 years so, of schooling. This is not like right. someone off the street Googling signs.
So utilize that to your best interest. You know what I'm saying? And be able to understand that when you see, let's say, that one athletic trainer out there, I have thousands of people like yeah, Laura,
hundreds
where I could just call up and go, hey, I got a situation here, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, send them or text me the information. Our staff calls that parent. They get them in to see ortho. They get them to see MRI. So it's like a big circle, or what I like to
call it. It's a community.
Yeah, I like to call it the Bermuda Triangle, because the patients in the middle, you have the parents, you have UF, and you have the school, and they're all supporting that one injured player.
Yeah. I mean, now I got to look if my kid's school has a program.
I was going to say, Laura, all of us, Clay County, you better have this.
Man, again, I think my least favorite part is how quick this goes. I'm going to say it one more time. Night for Heroes, February 8th, Sawgrass Marriott in Ponte Vedra. By the time this airs, ticket sales will be closed, but go online, follow their social media, give them money to save people like Milo, to reinvest in programs like Tony's in. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Man, anything I'm missing here?
No, I went to the event last year and I thought it was great. I think it was a celebration of both the patients and then also everything that you guys are doing in the community, and it was a good time.
Yeah, we say this all the time. Love Northeast Florida, the big five counties. Obviously, we're in Duval currently, but Nassau, Clay, Baker. If it wasn't for UF Health getting so involved, who knows what would have happened with this specific individual and the five other patients that were nominated. So shout out to you, Milo.
Shout out.
Shout out to Tony.
Yes, yeah, Tony. Yeah.
Milo's playing. Milo's
back. Oh, let's go. Oh,
this year, yeah. I started that preseason rehab, right? So we started, once you got cleared, we just went back to, you know, rinse and repeat. Hey, we're training. I took, you know, we started doing this earlier because he wasn't able to get cleared to start training, right? So we picked it up where we went off, you know, and had to do a lot of one-on-one agility stuff and things like that. But he's back in the program. He's on the team. He'll be playing this week. And
love it.
You know, he's
Laura Tuck and Tony Mara, UF Health, representing Night for Heroes. That's what the health just happened.